there's any history buffs out there, you'll remember that in 1781 at Yorktown, General George Washington led the ragtag American army to conquer the British Empire. Now, the American army was not well supplied. Many of them did not have uniforms, and they certainly did not have the regimental band. And so it was the British army, resplendent in their red uniforms, that played the striking of the colors. And the hymn they chose, the song they chose for that event, was a popular one at the time called "The World Turned Upside Down." And how more appropriate a song could there be? Because here this group of not very united colonies had conquered the mighty British Empire, which boasted that the sun never set on the British flag. And so it was true that the world had been turned upside down, that such an event could happen. And nothing was the same after that. When we call Christ the King, I think we are similarly saying that the world is turned upside down, because we know something about kings anyway. I mean, we saw the funeral of Princess Di, you know, so kings have thrones and jewels and crowns and royal robes, and they have nobles and castles and all of this paraphernalia that goes into being a king. But in this upside down world that we have, with Christ as our king, the crown are the hungry, the robes are the naked, the palace are the stranger, the immigrant, the jewels are the sick and imprisoned. This upside down world, we find that when Christ is king, those things that seemed precious before have been turned on their head, and that the aristocrats, the nobles, the hoity and the toity, are those who care for the needy, those who reach out a hand, those who are aware of those who are suffering, those who are more about giving than about getting. So we live then as citizens of the kingdom of Christ in this upside down world where it's not so much that we're interested in the lifestyles of the rich and the famous as we are in companioning the poor and the humble. When Christ is our king, nothing is quite the same. And we saw that same image in the first reading today, in the image of the shepherd, very, very common image in the Old Testament for the king, since David was a shepherd. And we would think that the shepherd would like the sheep that were strong, sleek, those who were prime candidates for being really good mutton. You know, that's the kind of the sheep that the shepherd would really be after, you know, the ones that were robust. But we're told that this kind of shepherd that we have has a different set of values. Instead of the sleek and the strong, this shepherd reaches out for those straying sheep. And it goes to find the lost sheep, and it binds up the maimed sheep, and it heals the sick sheep. And so then as citizens of the kingdom of Christ, we find that those are the kind of sheep that we're interested in as well. The alienated youth, the lonely elder, the struggling parent, the abused child. Those are the ones that we care about. So in the kingdom of Christ, it's not about survival of the fittest, it's about service of the frailest. So in this kingdom, things are not as they were before. And of course, we see this most dramatically in the crown, in this throne on which our king sat, the cross. Because the cross, of course, is the image of death, and yet we find that since Christ is our king and he reigns from the cross, that even death itself is no longer the terrible thing that it seems at first, because love is stronger than death. Christ has conquered sin and death. that we have no longer reason to fear death, since all are alive in him. And so this is the great invitation that the Feast of Christ the King invites us to respond to. Are we going to be people that can recognize that, in fact, Christ is the one who lets us know that even death itself has changed in the way we treat it? So in this upside-down world that we live in as citizens of the kingdom of Christ, we find that it is the hungry and the homeless who are members of the royal family. It is the lost and the lonely that are the ones who are preferred, and death itself is not terrible. It's almost as if Christ is saying, you can connect with me. You do connect with me whenever you encounter someone who is in need. That is almost as if when you are with someone who's hurting, it's God saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You don't need any kind of directory assistance in order to hear the voice of God in those who are suffering. You don't need an 800 number in order to know that God is the one who's calling when you're dealing with someone who is in grief. You don't need to worry about making the call go through when you see those who are hurting. Can you hear me now, God says? You know, because my number is not unlisted. You know, you know the area code. It's John 3:14. God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten son. And you know the number itself. It's a Holy Ghost number. Et cum spiri 221. The Holy Ghost number. Can you hear me now, God says? Can you hear me now? Because you can count on the fact that whenever you make a call, whenever you're on your knees, that there'll never be a call waiting. There'll never be a busy signal. There'll never be an answering machine that's going to respond to your call. Can you hear me now, God says? Because this is a local call. This is a call that you make in the midst of your family and your friends and your work and your school. This is a call that's a personal call. You know, you don't text. You don't text. No. This is a personal call that you're making here. Can you hear me now? God says. You know, if you need directory assistance, all you need to do is pull out the Bible, and you can get your directory assistance right there. You know, and God says, can you hear me now? Because if you want to have high speed access, you know, your T1 line, you do it at church. You know, you do it gathered with the people of God. You do it around this altar. You do it receiving the body and blood of Christ. Can you hear me now, God says? Because you've got the right carrier. You have the right carrier when you know you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, when you've been baptized in spirit and in fire, when you realize you're a member of the body, when you know you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, when you understand that you're citizens of the kingdom of Christ the King.